Welcome to another episode of The Silly with the Hooligans. Mitch, Brad.
Hello.
Matthew Bird.
All right.
And now this time with equipment recording and working successfully.
It was touch and go for a while.
We're finally going to be able to talk to the new coach of St. Louis FC, Steve Trichu. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, all the above.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks for coming out. I think everybody is quite excited to hear from you. You've spoken to the group a couple times now, and let's be honest, everybody likes what they're hearing from you.
Yeah, it's early. We haven't really played anything. Give us a little bit, but no, you know, I try and speak the truth, and so far, what I've seen has been fantastic. You know, from the top to the bottom, right now for me, I just didn't really have that where I was before. But it's all positive here, and it's an environment for success, and so hopefully we can take that and put it into the season here.
And actually, this is the first time we've talked to you since you've actually had the guys on the field. I mean, preseason has started. You've seen them in a couple game situations, but also in training every day. Yep. Any changes in your opinion coming in? Like, I know you were kind of happy with what it looked like on paper. Is it living up to your hope? Or
yeah, for the most part. You know, we've played three games here. And it's been against some really good competition. And so it's kind of shown me these last 3 weeks what we need to work on and what areas we need to improve on. But for the most part, it's been all positive. The guys have been great. They come to work every day and want to get better and try and take my ideas into the game. Because obviously with a change of coach, there's always change of ideas. And what they were doing last year, maybe, you know, there's little tweaks here and there, and we're just trying to get all on the same page. But it's been great. And so we just got to keep improving that week after week and game after game. And hopefully by the March 7th, we're on top of it.
One of the guys that's really impressed me, although we only saw the Memphis game, the other two games have been out of town, but just reading along with Twitter, Trialist, he seems to be having a good year.
I believe that those are the academy kids.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so and
but they're making some contributions.
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, coming into it, you know, I got here about 2 weeks before all the guys came, and so I spent a lot of time watching the academy players train. And there's a couple that I identified that really weren't on the list to begin with, and I've put them in these games because right now we're still trying to build up the minutes for the guys, and guys aren't 90 minute fit right now, and so we've been using those guys. Maybe some played 45 minutes, some played 30 minutes, but every time I put them in there, they cause some problems. And I really like the kid Dante. He actually had
that Memphis game. He had a really nice assist.
He had an assist. He made the assist for Tyler in Tulsa the other day. Okay. And so the kid's got something to him. But no, like every player so far that we've brought from the academy has done well. They've added to our training, and they don't bring the training down at all. If they do, the guys get on top of them. But they need that. You know, they're young players, and they need to learn. But everything, like I said, everything from the top, you know, I'm saying from the top, Jim Cavanaugh, all the way down to the team, it's been everything that I've thought of that I wanted.
So now let's hope it translates to wins and success. Because, I mean, we've heard for years now that it's a good setup. The academy's good. But it just never seemed to translate into on the field consistency. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say it maybe that negatively. It just things happen.
Last year's still fresh, Brad. Last year's still fresh.
Sure, but there were successes last year with the Open Cup. But you know, everything can look great at the start of the season, but you have to deal with the bumps in the road that inevitably come up.
This is a hard league. Yeah. I mean, I've said that from day one, and it's getting harder and harder. And there are teams out there that are really wanting to win, and I know we're one of them. And so we've got to come in and be prepared. That's a hard word. Prepared, and that's what I'm trying to do with these guys. You know, get all on the same page. I know the attacking part's going to come. I know we haven't scored the most goals here in preseason, but I've been actually concentrating on the defensive side of it because I'm changing a little bit how they were playing. But like I said, the guys have done well, that's all I can ask from right now is just keep working at it, and we'll get better.
Oh, no. Go ahead.
Well, you mentioned before we started recording, you guys went down and played Tulsa last weekend. And that's another team that you said you can tell they've made the investment and they're improving. And I think that's the case with wherever you look in the league. Even
most places.
Well, no, that's true. That's true. Most places. But the league as a whole is rising,
yeah.
And you can't be complacent. You have to keep going.
You have to, and that's what I've always said. You know, you've got to stay up with the Joneses.
Right.
If you don't, then you can tell who hasn't. You know, basically, I know. But no, it's a hard league. It's a hard league to play in. It's a hard league to coach in, actually, because I've talked to some of the coaches that are coaching in this league that have coached in the MLS, and they're like, this is hard. This is probably harder to coach in this league than it is in the MLS, because in the MLS you have everything at your service there. They're here, you gotta do a lot of things on your own, and you know, we have a smaller staff here, and so. But I love it. I mean, I love the thrill of it, the challenge of it, and just trying to get better each day in each game.
And do you still get to do some actual coaching out there? I mean, I know these guys are professionals, but they're still learning,
yeah,
right?
You have to. And I mean, in my previous job, I had to do it a lot.
Yeah.
This, you know, seeing these guys right now, most of them are experienced. They played in the league. Some have played at a really good high level, and I don't have to do as much coaching. Coaching, but the teaching part,
yeah.
The teaching part of it. But it's still, you have to.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason, you know, like why some of these guys aren't in the MLS. And you still have to teach them the game and teach them your ways and teach them my style of play and my philosophies and that. And so, but they've taken to it, and it's like, I have to tell them one time and then it's done, you know. In some cases, I had to tell one, two, three, four. And it still wouldn't translate.
Right.
But no, but it's like I said, everything's been positive. Everything's been good so far.
What about the mental aspect of the game? I mean, I'll hark on about last year. I think we were good enough last year, but I just think sometimes upstairs we didn't believe it. And whilst you can look at this group of players and say they've got the ability, they've got the talent. How do you change the mindset to get them to really understand that, hey, we can do well in this league?
You know, I think it starts, I watched them last year a little bit, and I sat with Anthony before he left here. I think that they didn't have as much depth last year, mm-hmm. And you need that competition in your team. And you can't let guys get complacent. And I think that maybe that happened a little bit last year with them. But this year, you know, we've got a good depth here, and there's guys fighting for positions, and that's what I could ask for each day. And they just come out and fight. And I keep telling them, I said, you know, now we've got two more games left, guys. And we've got to decide on a first 11 here. And so, you know, it's going to be up to you guys to show what you can do in training daily. And then also in the games, who can add to it, you know, who's hot and scoring, who's doing the job defensively in the midfield, who's connecting the game and directing the game. And so I'm looking for these things, and I've got an idea of who it's going to be, but they're still 2 weeks away, and there's still time to fight for it.
Go ahead.
Sorry. When you accepted the job and Pat Barry gave you a list of all the players, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them you'll have heard of before because of, you watch the league, but there'll been a bunch of players that you've not heard of. Which one of those guys have you come into this change room and seen them on the field practicing and gone, wow, he's a baller?
Yeah, well, there are a few of them. I mean, Richard Bryan for me has done really well. I didn't know a thing about him,
mm-hmm.
And he's come in and done fantastic. He's been injured about the last week, so he only played about maybe 40 minutes the other day in Tulsa. But I like the kid. I mean, he's gonna push Paris on that side right now, and so I've got to decide in these next couple of weeks who's gonna be the, you know, basically the right back there. I mean, Jeremy Gagnon Lapierre, how about that?
Yeah,
he's actually come in and done well. I didn't see a lot of film on him before. But for the other guys, I pretty much knew all of them. And I said this before, if I had a wish list, you know, from the first year 2015 to this last year, a lot of them would have been on it. I mean, a Todd Wharton, a Wall Fall. I mean, you kidding me here?
Yeah.
I mean, so, I mean, these guys and Kyle Gregg, I mean, they were always on my wish list. I knew I could never get them. You know, these guys have just seeing them in person. I mean, I see playing against them and how good they were there, but seeing them in person daily, it just shows that these guys are quality players here.
When you were mentioning Jeremy, I know there was discussion he had been playing a lot of center mid before, and he's slotting in at right back
left back.
I'm sorry. And that transition seems to be okay.
Yeah, he's and you know, him and Paris are both very good attacking, and in my style of play, I like my outside backs to get into the attack, and the attacking part of it, they've done well. And now I've got to work on their defensive side a little bit of it, but with Toby in there, with Fan in there right now, I mean, these guys, they can hold down the fort, man. So those guys can go, and then you got Wall and Todd in front of them. I mean, and even Oscar. Oscar's done well for me. And so, I mean, there's a little bit of depth there in the middle. And so it's just kind of putting it together and seeing and making sure the guys are staying healthy these next couple weeks here and just to get ready for that Miami game.
I think, you're mentioning multiple players at multiple positions here, but I think maybe this is a new experience for you rather than being forced to go with a lineup because this is all you have.
Yeah.
You've actually got some options and you've got some different kinds of pieces. So if things aren't going this way, you can change it up a little bit.
Yeah, and for sure. I mean, and, actually Max and I are, my assistant, we're talking about it today about, everybody's, we've kind of come out into 4-2-3-1 most of the time here so far. And that's my basic lineup that I like, or my basic formation that I like to go from. But with that type of formation, you can be very flexible in it. Maybe you sit two, maybe you sit one, maybe you, keep guys narrow, maybe you keep some width. And so we've got a lot of things we can do different in this type of formation, but the players that we have can do that.
Yeah.
For once, I have a very good possession team, and we can do some things in possession and to build up into the attack. But on the other side of that, we've got a very good transitional team that can counterattack very well. So it's just kind of putting it all together, and I just don't want to be predictable this year.
Also got a couple of guys talking about that being able to change it up on the fly.
Yeah,
you've got guys that can play a couple different positions on the field. So. Yeah. If one thing's not working, you can move it around without making a substitute too.
And that's what we're gonna do this weekend when we play the college team is like change it up a little bit. It'll look a little bit different, but in theory, it's about the same. You know, but it just puts some guys in different positions on the field to maybe take advantage of their assets. And so, but that's what I want to try and do is like I said, be flexible in the way we play. And if we can change the way we play during the flow of the game, that's even better. Cause then the team can't figure it out. So.
My heart's a flutter over here. This is everything that we've been hoping to hear.
Well, yeah, you can say it, but yeah.
We saw it last year where we had moments of that and then something would change and there wasn't the adaptability, I guess, that we saw. Maybe it was because of the smaller roster size. Maybe it was the injuries or just the pieces in play. But we always felt, like Bird said, we were just that close to being consistent, that close to and hearing this, okay, we're not going to be predictable. That was something that, good or bad, we know who we're putting out every time.
Right.
Having that kind of flexibility, having that kind of change on the fly, it's huge. And it's, like you said, especially in today's USL, you have to be fluid.
You have to be. I mean, teams are doing their due diligence these days in scouting. And, I'm doing the same thing and trying to find, if we get some scouting report on some teams, trying to find their weaknesses and some of the things they do well, their strengths, the top players and things. So, which we're working on Miami right now, but I just can't find anything out there.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Yeah. How do you even scout a team that really doesn't exist?
Yeah, it's been difficult because they haven't really publicized many of their preseason games. I know they've played a couple. I got some friends down there that we're trying to contact and maybe get a scouting report on them, but it's kind of hush hush right now. And so that first game is going to be interesting. I mean, hopefully we can find a little bit of info on them before we play them. But if not, then I'm just going to tell the guys, hey, let's worry about us. Let's go out and play, and we'll have to change it as the game goes on, if we don't know a whole lot about them.
Obviously, as you mentioned, it's not helping us the first game. Mm-hmm. But since you've come into the league in 2015, that's when we started following the league more closely. It's changed a lot, the amount of resources you have. I mean, now, you've got the heart rate monitors on the guys, and you've got the GPS, and exactly how much they run and where they are on the field. And you get that data from the teams you're playing, video that maybe you didn't have those first couple of years.
Yeah.
Does it make your job easier because you get to use all that information, or does it make your job harder because the opponents have all that same information for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's like I said, this league's hard, but there is a lot of information out there that you can find on teams. But like you said, they can find it out on you too. So that's why I kind of want to be flexible. I just don't want to be coming into a game and the opponent saying, "Oh, this is what they're going to do every day." And
all so, you have to do is shut down this lane, and
right,
you've got
exactly.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah, and so you know we can attack this side, but hopefully we can be a little bit flexible like that. And like I said, maybe I'm hoping that I have enough players that maybe we can change the personnel once in a while and keep guys fresh for that you know, that middle of the part of the season that's a grind in the middle of the summer, that, you know, that's when you really need to get some wins there. And so hopefully we can manage some guys' legs for the whole season there.
Well, and that's going to kind of coincide with the Open Cup as well, hopefully. Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things we saw last year, is you try to put your best 11 out for both those games, and it just doesn't work.
Well, it's you know, the first, well, so obviously we're going to New York somewhere for the first game, but the best thing right now is we don't play that weekend before it.
Right.
Yeah. And so we'll play on the Tuesday, and then we're actually going to stay in New York and play them on Saturday. And so that's going to help out immensely, because those first round games are a nightmare, because these are ones that you really can't find any information on, because a
and
lot of them
it's
are amateur.
Their big day. They're
oh, gosh,
up for
yeah.
it.
Yeah, especially if we're playing in New York, you know, there's probably going to be a lot of people there, whichever one we're playing. So it's not going to be easy, but even the previous games that I played, I mean, we're always playing this amateur. There's two amateur teams from Colorado and from mm-hmm. Denver, and they were hard. They were hard to play against, because that's their World Cup right there.
Exactly.
You know, and so you got to be ready for it. But looking at the schedule, I mean, we're going to be able to play a strong team that first game, and so hopefully we can take care of it, move it out of the way, and hopefully get a home game the second round.
Well, we played FC Denver a couple of times in preseason a couple of years ago, and They were no slouches.
No, it was FC Denver and Harpo's. Those are the two
Harpo's,
teams we always played.
Harpo's has had a couple runs in the Open Cup.
Bullshit pup team.
yeah, exactly. But I think FC Denver's kind of taken over that area there. But no, they were always hard to play. And when they weren't,
which is
in the
great thing about the Open Cup.
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah, it is. It's something special. And I mean, you got to be on top of your game. If you're not, then you'll get embarrassed.
Ask Chicago.
Yeah.
Ask Cincinnati.
Exactly. Yo, that's what you got to take it serious if you want to win the Open Cup.
Do want to mention we do have two more preseason games, as you mentioned. Sunday we've got Young Harris, and that is free to everybody who wants to come. That will be at Soccer Park, and then the final preseason game will be Forward Madison. Always a good time, a fun team to follow on Twitter. They've got some good fans. They're going to make the trip down, and I believe that game is $5 to get in. Mm-hmm. So those are the final two home preseason games. Right. We did have to cancel one Saturday against SLU.
Yeah.
Do you want to say anything about that?
No, it was just one of those things. When I looked at the schedule, it just didn't make any sense to me. You know, I got to manage guys' legs, and the important thing is having these guys ready for the Miami game. And so having two games in 24 hours, it didn't make sense.
Well, and I think it's an NCAA rule. We couldn't even play some
of
the –
No, you can't play the academy kids.
So that makes your bench even shorter
for sure
for 2 days.
And that's why we kind of looked at it. And I talked with Kevin Kalish, and he was fine with it. I think they have some injuries too. And so we'll figure out something down the line with them, and you know, because I got a good relationship with Kevin, and I finally met the SIU coach too, and because that's where I went, so I want to need to play a game against them, those guys sometime too.
Yeah, we usually would have a preseason game against SIU, and obviously you have that relationship, so. Would be nice to do that too.
First ever game of the club for the club was a preseason game. SIU, and we all stood on the berm.
Yeah. In the snow.
Freezing.
In the snow.
My goodness.
Yeah, that wind coming across was brutal, but we didn't care. We were there.
But another very good local program in SIU.
Oh, yeah.
Probably sure. Started around when you played there.
It started a little before that. Yeah, they know. It's, you know, it's all – well, back then, that was – you know, if you were from St. Louis area, you either go to SIU, St. Louis, or Indiana.
Yeah.
And –
still kind of.
I was
going
to say it's not much different.
I was really close to going to Indiana. Actually, I mean, I went there on a trip, and And then actually, because I saw Joey Clark the last, because that was his first year of coaching when I was going to coming the, when I was a senior in high school, that next year was his first year of coaching. And he's like, yeah, I made a mistake. He didn't come and, you know, didn't recruit you. So I had it down between SIU and Indiana and actually Eastern Illinois, because Eastern used to be a really good program back then too. So, but, you know, obviously it made a right decision, but.
Yeah. Well, and maybe talk about that a little bit, yeah. You know, how times have changed. And now with young guys trying to make the decision,
yeah.
I mean, the pro has gotten a little bit more enticing, I mean,
sure.
than when you were that age, obviously.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean,
when you're talking to these young academy kids, is it something they're asking your advice on and on a career path or?
Not yet, but I can imagine. I mean, yeah. Some of these kids, they'll have a future.
Mm-hmm.
I know that there are already a couple of them that I think have already committed to college. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say that, you know, they could skip that. But yeah. for right now, the ones that are training with us, I think college is the best route for them right now. But yeah, there's so many choices right now for kids, whether it's USL Championship, USL One, obviously the MLS, go to Europe. And so there's just so many. Back then for us, it was like, I mean, I wanted to play with the Steamers,
yeah.
you know, because that's really what was around then. And then, I mean, things changed for me once my senior year when I started with the national team and everything. So I wanted to kind of stay with the outdoor. But I did play with the Steamers in 1 year, which was fantastic. And playing in front of the crowds at the old Checker Dome, which is so cool. Because I went to go watch concerts there.
The Checker Dome was, Checker Dome. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He's calling it the Checker Dome. That puts you in a very specific yeah, right. point of time.
I'm telling you, man.
That's the best part.
Yeah. I'll never forget it, man. That place was a – oh, you go underneath – into the locker rooms, and it was dirty, and oh my gosh, man.
Well, and sitting in the locker room underneath those stands, I could just imagine the dust shaking down.
Oh
and,
gosh, man, it was a crazy time. But
I wasn't sure it was legal to be up at where we would stand in the top section, because it felt like it was yeah, you know just moments right. away from collapsing.
It was a special time, and to be part of that, that's, you know, that's big history back then, and it was a big part of St. Louis, and to be part of that was something special for me.
I can't say enough good things about that time frame, but it is the good thing is that it's in the past, and now the outdoor game has surpassed it to that point where, you know, we do have Americans playing in Germany and, you know, all these options. Speaking of playing in Europe, you know, we were talking a little bit beforehand. How'd you end up playing in Europe instead of or how did that all happen? Because not exactly the normal path for Americans at the time.
No, not at all. I mean, that was as I started playing with the national team. Well, actually, even when I was in college, I mean, I had a goal of playing in Europe. I always wanted to play in Germany. Nothing really good came up there though. So, you know, from the 90 World Cup when I played against Czechoslovakia the first game. Actually, we got hammered, but
that was after the game, right?
We didn't, but we should have. Okay. No. But no, you know, so the assistant for the Czech national team at the time was the head coach for Sparta Prague. And, you know, he saw me play. They scouted us too before that, so they were aware of me. And so I came back from Italy, and I went back and played with the Rowdies because I was playing with them. And then maybe 2-3 weeks later, they called up and said, hey, there's a contract on the table. You don't have to go try out. They're just offering this to you. And I'm like, who is it? And they're like, what's Sparta Prague? I'm like, where's that? No, because, I mean, obviously back, you didn't really look at the Eastern Bloc countries.
They weren't on Soccer Made in Germany.
No,
on
not
PBS,
at all. So. Not at all. But, you know, I did a little research on them, and
pretty big club.
For sure. I mean, always champions of Czechoslovakia at the time. And I mean, most of that team played on the national team anyway, so I was aware of those guys. And but it all worked out. I mean, I went there, and they made me feel as comfortable as I could, you know, because it was strange. It was strange because it was changing over from communism from 89, and I mean, everything was dirt cheap at the time. And I got a bunch of crystal that I brought back, so it was kind of cool. But no, playing there. I mean, you know, I was the first American to play in the Champions, what is now the Champions League. Back then it was the European Cup. And so that was a great experience. But, you know, staying there a year was plenty.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, you're saying Czechoslovakia. It was still that bloc country.
Yeah.
I mean, and you just said literally point blank. It was just post communism was, so you're still looking at the concrete buildings and the very Soviet style. I mean, obviously it's a hard adjustment when you don't speak the language and stuff, but even just more from a societal thing, watching them go through that while you're adapting.
Oh, it's crazy.
I can't even imagine what it's like because they're learning democracy and you're learning their country, which is evolving as you're sitting there.
Yeah, I will say that they hated Russians. And so we played Spartak Moscow. That was our opponent in the European Cup at the time. And so we had to go to Moscow. And these guys, I mean, they would not say one good thing about Russian people. I mean, it was
personal.
It was crazy, man. They hated them. And so, the people there were unbelievable. I can't say anything bad about them at all. I mean, they made me feel as comfortable as I could. The beer is unbelievable there, you guys. quick little story. It was after a game. We all, the team went out and they came out. By the way, those guys sat there with a bottle of vodka and orange juice and drink. I'm like, oh, I'm not doing that. Give me a beer. And so they gave me it's called Cherny Pivo, which translates to black beer. And so I had it, and I'm sitting there drinking it, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, I'm hammered. After one beer, it was like 17% alcohol. So it was the best beer in the world there. And
okay, I've got to find that one now.
You got to. It was cool that I'm going back there.
I think we have a beer to get for the first home game. I think
I don't know if you'll find it because it was like in plain bottles and there was no label on it.
They were just filling it in the bathtubs in the back.
Who knows where it came from, but it tasted good. So, yeah.
Well, if we ever give Coach a man of the match bucket, we'll have to try to find it for that.
There you go. Right?
Yeah, I don't know if you know this. This is our tradition. We give the player of the game a beer bucket. And we buy him a beer and we have it in a little bucket. And those that do drink will drink it.
Okay.
Sometimes we have a player will choose a designated drinker because some of these guys, their bodies are temple that stuff.
Yeah.
But somebody did write in and say, well, they want to know, since you're a local guy, will you come over and drink the beer when it's your turn?
Kidding me? Anytime. That's for sure, man.
He is truly a St. Louis.
There we go.
If there was ever any doubt. Right. It never broke his system.
I can't believe we just listened to 10 minutes of, well, after the World Cup, because you played in a World Cup.
Yeah. It's funny because there's still a part of my mind that is separating Steve the player versus Steve the coach, and they're almost like two people in my head. Granted, part of it's the mullet.
It's not there anymore.
but it's just, the last time we talked, and unfortunately it wasn't recorded, I broke out the picture of the infamous play at soccer park, in fact, where handball.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, it's...
It's gamesmanship, Mitch.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. But it's just hard in my brain to correlate the two. It's like two different people.
I know, it's crazy. I mean, because since I've been back, I mean, everybody talks about those days.
Yeah.
And it's kind of special because that game was big because if I didn't save that, it would have been 1-1, and who knows what would have happened after that. But and then Vignoli saved the penalty, so that was big time. But the last time I played on that field was right before we left for Italy, and we played Iceland. I think that's probably the last time the national team's ever played on that field.
When it was
grass, and I scored a goal there. And so the last time I played on that field, I scored.
we've been dancing around it. You are from the area.
Yeah.
What's it like being home? I mean, is it good to see family and friends?
Yeah,
and are they excited to come out and watch you at the park?
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, my mom still lives in Granite. My brother does too. And so it's good. I mean, like, because previously I would maybe see him once a year, and it's been great. You know, every once in a while I'll just drive over and see my mom. And so that part of it's been good. And then seeing all my friends, last week, and I was put in that St. Louis Sports Hall of Fame last week.
Yeah,
and so the other one of the other coaches that were put in was Gene Baker. I don't know if you guys remember Gene from Grand City South. And so he had there were probably like 100-something guys there from his teams. And it was a lot of guys that I played with in high school. And so it was great seeing those guys. But it's like been like that the whole time I've been back. Everybody wants to get together. I'm like, I got something to do here. So I got to focus a little bit. So that time will come. But it's great being back. And, who knows what would have happened if I didn't, but I for now coming back has been great.
Well, and let's talk about that too. Great timing. I'm sure it has everything to do with you coming back home into the St. Louis Soccer Hall of Fame. That's a, I mean, we joke about it at time on the show here, because sometimes it is kind of the old boys network, but they're recognizing a lot of these guys getting to your group, which is a little bit ahead of our group of influential people. And that's not an age joke. That's just statistics, but it's like, you know, you start to look at this, it's a who's who to have your name with these people. That's pretty amazing. But it's but at the same time, there's also a part of me that's like, why didn't this happen sooner? Because well, you are that guy.
Well, Jim, I spoke to Jim Leake a couple of years ago about that, and he said that they've lowered the age restriction because they were getting a feedback from a lot of the inductees that they were having. They were like, I wish my mom and dad had been here to see this.
Oh,
you know, and they have made a conscious decision to lower the age group. So it's more of a family thing for the inductees, that their entire family can be there.
That's good. That's good to hear. So you've got a chance at going in, Bert.
Top podcast.
There you go. No, but that's a great honor for me. When because they actually asked for my, you know, they ask you to fill out a profile and all this stuff. And this has been like 3 years ago that I filled all this stuff out and really never thought about it. And then, it was funny because Jim called. I saw Jim, I don't know, somewhere I saw him, and he's like, hey, you know, you're finally going to be on the ballot this year. I'm like, well, that's a great, man, that's a great honor and stuff. And then, you know, I saw him. No, he actually called me last week and said, hey, when are you guys training? And I'm like, well, 10 o'clock. And I kind of had an idea that he was going to come out and this was going to happen. But for it to happen and for me to have the – they did it in front of the team.
That was
really special for me. And – because, you know, these guys probably know a little bit about me, but for that to happen, that was something special.
That's the moment where you say, listen, sons of bitches, this is who I am.
Right.
That's where you get a little swagger.
And I think it's good for the Soccer Hall of Fame to do that, the little moments like that that make it kind of special. And guys like you, who some of us remember, some of us who are a little bit older, remember your playing days.
Right.
But then also a guy like Brad Davis got in too. Which some of the younger guys will definitely know.
Yeah, exactly. And then, I mean, I'm happy for Chris Kenny. I mean, you know, I played with Chris, and he was a fantastic player. And it's the same thing. I guess they went to Marquette the other day and did it in front of the school.
That.
And so, I mean, it's just cool. I mean, I'm so honored to be part of that.
Again, long overdue, but again, who are we to judge? Because it's happening. So that's the important thing.
That's all right.
Hey. Every part matters.
I just hope, you know, when they do start building this new stadium, that they have a spot for all
the
Hall of
Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just hope they have a spot for it all.
I can't imagine not, because there's so much history and just in different levels too. I mean, it's amazing the amount of talent that comes through. And that's one of the things as we're sitting here talking about the academy and such, you know, you're coming from Colorado, where you mentioned the great teams that were outside, like the FC Denver and the like, but coming back to here where you have the resources in terms of players, does it really change how you're treating the academy if it wasn't here, I guess? Like, knowing that Gallagher and the local clubs create such a high caliber of player, Is it going to be part of that plan where it's like, okay, I've got those guys to look forward to coming through the feed line here?
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to keep my pulse on that a little bit too. I'll stay out and watch them every once in a while when they train in the later afternoons, just to see what's there.
I'll take him and him.
Yeah, I'm really not just concentrating on the 19s.
Yeah,
yeah, there some of those guys are ready right now to help us, but I like watching the younger groups too to see if there's anything. Hey, maybe if we can, in a couple months, maybe we can bring them along. You know, some of them are just physically can't probably do it right now, but hopefully within a month or two or so, you know, well, maybe when their season's finished, like June, I can grab some of those younger ones and add them to the team also.
And I think, you know, and we've seen it happen in years past where just the example you described, where they bring them in towards after the end of their season and just let them run through practice a few times at a pro level. It kind of opens their eyes and makes them aware of how hard they have to work to get to the next level and inspires them at the same time.
No, that's what it is. And, you know, this is the first time I've been well, not in charge of that, but I can influence those guys to bring them up. I had no control over when the Rapids were with us. I had just, they would say, he's coming. And I'm saying he's not good enough. He's not good enough. but no, I mean, here has been good. And like I said, I'm trying to keep my pulse on everything there. And hopefully we can develop another Josh Sargent somewhere here.
We do have some questions from the listeners, so if you don't mind, we'll go through some of those.
Okay.
These are some of my favorites because they ask things that I couldn't ask you right here face-to-face, but I can say. All right. Ryan wants to know, this is our friend PT the Islander, seeing as how playing three forwards up top is the best system, see how he just... what trio do you think you'll go with to start the season? You don't have to name him specifically, but... Some of the high points you've seen up top for us.
Yeah, like I said, we kind of talked about it. These guys are very flexible in the way they play. We don't necessarily – well, we do have wide guys that can take guys on, but they also can add to the middle and combine a little bit more and play a little bit more narrow. So, you know, that's – like I'm still not satisfied – or not satisfied, but I'm still not sure who's going to play up there. I'm trying to find the right mixture. Like, you know, Tyler's been hurt a little bit, so he didn't really train a whole lot last week. I love Kyle Gregg. You know, Kadeem's been doing well. Russell Cicerone's been really doing well. And now more Sam will be in tomorrow. And so we'll hopefully we'll get his physical on Thursday, and then he'll be in training on Friday and see what kind of shape he's in a little bit. And I haven't seen him up close. I've seen him on tape, but this kid's he's a talent. And so trying to mix him in wherever up there, we'll see. So, but I haven't really decided on who's going to be up there, but we do have some attacking assets this year.
This is a similar question from Matt Baker. Too early to say you've settled into anything, but he's seen that, you know, you've been running the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
Is that something you see carrying on with? And I'll rephrase this a little bit. He says something about the players meshing well together. Mm-hmm. Does it change your mind as maybe he's not the best player, but he works well with this guy?
Yeah, that's what preseason's about. You know, trying to find the right mixture of players in there. I've been putting out the 4-2-3-1, but you know, the guys in the middle are very flexible in the way they play, and they, you know, Wall can play a little higher. Todd Warden can play a little higher. Todd can play as a six. Wall can play as a six. So there's a lot of things that we can do in that middle in there. Yeah, it might look like a 4-2-3-1, but maybe it changes into just one sitting. So we'll see how it goes.
I try not to get too caught up on the formations because you play what happens out there, and
exactly.
And it can become any formation it needs to be on the fly.
Yeah, formations are just something that everybody talks about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can say you're playing a 4-4-2, but it could be a 4-5-1, you know, or whatever it is. So
it's just how you line up for the kickoff.
That's all it is. And so you still got to play the game, and all the principles of the game are all the same.
Yeah.
There are, you know, there's basically four moments, and then there's restarts, you know. So if you do all those moments right, then you're all right.
we danced around these guys a little bit with Wall and Wharton in the middle. I mean, we all here are familiar with Wall and what he contributes. I mean, watching him spray a ball around and watching the play go through him it's artistic. I mean, it really is. Tell us a little bit about what Wharton's going to bring.
Almost the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. No.
Oh.
And Todd is very strong on the ball. He'll almost always find the right pass. He'll always be positionally, defensively, or to have an outlet attacking wise. And so I've really, those two guys together, and I don't have to really coach them. They figure things out by themselves. I'm like, you two go play. So, but it's,
well, and the more they play together, they'll learn
each
other.
And they know that. And so I've talked to them individually and together. I'm like, just play with, you know, read off each other, play with each other. And those two guys can probably keep possession between themselves, between four guys. And so I'm not worried about them at all. Wall makes the game flow. Todd makes the game flow. And getting Joaquin on his game a little bit more, because obviously he's a little rusty still right now. That's going to be big as soon as he gets going a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, that's another guy you can throw it for. I mean, he's like a new signing for us. He barely played last year. Yeah.
And you mentioned Rust. I mean, he was out for almost an entire season, so it's going to take a while to get back into it.
I can see that, and I'm going to be patient with him. We're going to change the way we play against, like I said, on Sunday against this college team, and I just want to see this different. The way I'm thinking, see how it goes. So
it's just so exciting. We have dynamic players that we're talking about.
Well, I think when we lost Wall to Ottawa last year, it was a bigger blow than we originally thought. Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's a big piece to take out of any team.
We didn't have a lot of creativity through the middle. We were great going wide, passing it to Russell or Kadeem on the wings. But if the crosses weren't there or we couldn't get on the end of them, we had nothing through the middle. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you've just said that Todd can do what Wall does, we were crying out for an outflow through the middle. Actually.
We wanted one, and now we have two.
Yeah, we had nothing going through the center of the park.
Yeah, and I mean against Tulsa the other day, I mean they played themselves out of like tight little situations that I'm like, oh man, we're gonna turn it over, but. They get it out. They get out of these tight situations and find the right pass to start the attack. So,
well, yeah, that's the key. Yet not just coughing it up to get rid of it. Yeah, actually finding a place for it.
Exactly. So, I mean, those guys have been positive, and it's, you know, it's kind of a new team, and it's a new team for me, but it's a new team for a lot of the players also. So, yeah. everybody's just starting to figure each other out. But I've seen us getting better and better in each game. You know, I mean, even in the Indy game, losing 1-0, I thought the first 30 minutes we did really well. And that's for me, that's a good team.
That's a really good team.
I mean, I'm talking top two, top three in the East this year. And we should have been up at halftime. So, yeah, we'll just keep getting better.
All right. We've had a couple questions about going forward. We'll let Stuart ask about the back. Ever since we've started, we've not had a number one goalie and a number two goalie. Yeah. We've had a 1A and a 1B, and sometimes they flip.
Right.
Credit to Brian Jones. I think he does an amazing job
with
the keepers. Do we have a number one, or are you still looking at that?
Well, you know, when Berner took his head thing the other day, he didn't train for, you know, a good week or so.
Yeah.
He didn't get to play. He didn't get to go to Indy or Tulsa. And so he just actually started training.
Is he feeling okay now?
He's fine. Okay. I mean, you can't even see the cut there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was nasty though. I mean, I saw the they took a picture of it before they stitched it up, and it was gross. I never had one that bad. I had a bunch of them, but not that bad. But for Kyle Morton right now is probably number one, just because of John being out for so long, and I gotta get for a keeper. It's a little different. I gotta keep getting him more and more minutes. But Kyle's done really well. The thing I told the guys today, I said, these three games have been fantastic for us. And I said, but we're making a goal these last two games, no goals. I mean, that's the next thing we got to get a couple shutouts here. And so, Kyle Morton's been fantastic. I mean, he's very good with his feet. His distribution's fantastic, and he makes some saves that he had that. Probably should have been goals that, you know, that he makes a save on. So, but Berner's right there. Yeah. You know, John's going to push him, and so that's, we have two number ones basically for me.
How important is it with the decision to have Morton as your so-called number one, to have Toby in front of him, and they played together last year?
That helps. That helps out a lot. And then you put Fan with him, and then you still have Sam Fink too. So, there's some competition going on there. But yeah, for Toby's a beast, man. You know, I mean, him and Fan, they just control it back there, and just with their physical presence. But they're also, they've been adding into the possession and building out of the back, and that's one thing we've done really well is build out of the back this year so far in these games, and we got to consistently kind of keep doing that just to keep teams honest, because if they're gonna press and press a little bit higher. We've got the speed and the ability to play through that, and that's shown so far this year.
This is another question, which I feel bad for you. You're walking into this, and we've never had a surplus of goals as St. Louis FC. Jeff Cranus wants to know, we've never had two players finish in double digits. Can we make a goal for that to be the case?
That would be fantastic. I mean, I can see three of them at least this year. If they're on their game, we're on our game, I can see at least three of them getting double figures. I would hope. I mean, that's if we can do that, then we're having a successful season. As long as we don't let goals in.
Well,
or we score more goals than the other team.
Yeah.
So that's, you know.
Tyler almost got there last year in only, what, 10 games or whatever it was.
Tyler showed up, and I think it was a good combination of he wanted a new place, and we needed somebody, and it was a nice little marriage.
He's hungry, too. You know, like I said, I mean, he hasn't trained the whole week, but I said, hey, can you at least give me – you know, 20 to 30 minutes on Sunday when we played in Tulsa. He's like, yeah, no problem. So I think it was the second touches when he scored. So.
Yeah. That's always a nice little, yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Have you made any comments to him about a short length? Because everybody in the stands
he
notice he's got a little,
him up there, yeah.
He gets a little shorty shorts.
I have, you know, well, I think they all had tights on the other day. I don't think I've seen him in shorts yet, so.
As long as he scores, I bet you don't care what his shorts are.
I could care less what he does. He wants to run out there in boy shorts.
That's right.
Put him in.
Yeah.
All right. This question's from our friend Lindsay Kennedy Eversmeyer. Do you know Lindsay? She played for the Steamers, actually.
The second reiteration of the Steamers, the one that played in St. Charles.
Oh, no.
She's the head coach of Fire and Ice. They're the WPSL team over on the east side.
Oh, okay.
Really good team.
They were national champions in 2018?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Fun team. She said she always brings her girls out to watch a game every summer.
Okay.
Will you bring the boys out to watch one of their games? I will give you this out. Your schedule's a little more packed than theirs.
Sure.
So you might not have – if you're not playing at home on a Saturday night, you're playing away.
We'll see. Yeah, like I said. I mean, really, we have that weekend off in April.
Yeah.
And then we don't have a weekend off I don't know when after that. It's almost every weekend this year. So.
I don't think there
they
is.
They are a good team though. I do want to tell our fans that are listening, if St. Louis FC is out of town, you should go watch one of the Fire and Ice games.
There you go.
Steve Smith, with the team getting a W at the home opener behind a local guy, will coach? Oh, this was back to the beer bucket thing. Will you come over and celebrate with us in the corner?
You better believe
we've
it.
Got a yes.
Yeah,
Jake. Cake with a J. He wants to know, this is the first time you've been in the East. What teams are you looking forward to playing, or maybe some coaches you're excited to face off against over in the East?
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously going down to Tampa. That's going to be something special because I did play with the Rowdies back when, and my daughter actually lives in Tampa, and so it's going to be kind of cool there. But now there's a lot of coaches. I mean, Dave Sarakin, I've always had a lot of respect for him. It's going to be good to see him and coach against him. There's a lot of guys. I mean, Mike Jeffries in Charlotte. I Martin Rennie last week, I saw him. I mean, that was kind of cool. And, so we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of guys that I know. I know most of them anyway, so it's going to be kind of cool to coach against them, yeah.
And he won't have to play in the abortion that's Louisville's field.
No, but
you get a nice field.
Yeah. You can kick John Hackworth's ass.
That's what you can do. Yeah, and I mean, John Hackworth, I mean, I've known him since, I was playing in Tampa, and he was the coach at South Florida way back when. And so all these guys, it's going to be cool to play against them.
Zach wants to know this. I'm assuming you watch EPL games when you get a chance.
Yeah.
VAR, how do you feel about it?
Oh, my gosh, man. It seems only in the EPL, though. I mean, yeah. I watch the Bundesliga a lot. I watch the Dutch league. I don't see the problems they're having there. Yeah. It's only in the EPL.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. I mean, and it's clear as day. Like the other day, the game
Zach's
the Chelsea
fan.
Game. Chelsea
that's why he
game.
Asked.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy.
Val worked perfectly on Monday. I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. No, it's for me. They've just taken it to the other extreme. Val, the mandate was egregious errors and clear and obvious. You know, the millimeter here or there, that was never the mandate.
Right.
Another guy should have one look at it and go, he's offside. If he can't tell he's offside, then just stick with the decision on the field.
It's
just gone from one extreme to another.
It's like they're doing it on purpose, so it just kind of pisses people off.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something to talk about daily on that, so I don't know.
It could be.
I don't know.
Stephanie Love, she wants to know, she's a newer fan. So far in the preseason, what is the one thing you think the team has done well, and maybe one thing you think that needs work?
One thing actually, and I've asked him to press a little bit different, and we've done really well. I told him in Tulsa the other day, we trained it, but I said, let's see how many times when we have success doing this is when they're either their keeper or their center backs are hitting long balls. And they did it almost every time, and we won the ball almost every time. And so I was very happy with that. And it's a little different than what Anthony was doing with them last year. And so they're still trying to get used to it. But we had a lot of success on Sunday in Tulsa of them turning the ball over when I was asking them. And
so you want them to force them to play the long ball rather than...
with the guys we have in the back, we're going to eat that up.
Okay.
And so the next thing after that is winning the second balls after we won the first ball. But, you know, I think to improve is really, you know, just being more consistent in scoring. We're creating chances. If I look at it in that final third, how many times are we getting into the 18 or at least getting close to the 18 and creating something? And we're getting to that point. Now it's just that final pass, that final shot, you know, or the final idea or the execution of it. And so if we can be consistent with that, we'll be sound on both sides of the ball. The other thing is, I mean, we're doing well on restarts actually too. So I think we're going to score a lot of goals this year on restarts.
Carlos wants to know, when Coach Shilly was here, he had the Shilly dog at the concession stand. Will there be a Trichu taco or Trichu tortellini? Any food items that you'll inspire at the food stand?
Maybe they'll name a beer after me. How about that?
I'd like that.
That sounds much better than food.
We'll sell more beers than chili dogs in the corner, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. I could put a picture of me with my mullet on it.
There we go.
Let's talk to Libby at second shift. Let's make this happen.
There you go.
Sam Wise, one of our drummers, he wants to know, do you have any favorite 80s songs? Because they like to just make up chants to old songs.
Give me any 80s. I mean, that's like I go in my car and listen to 80s on 8.
All right.
I mean, anything, AC/DC, so give me some Journey. I don't care. Okay. There you go. Yeah.
There you go. Sam, you've got some material to work with there.
They're notorious for turning 80s songs into chants. Like, Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston, Take on Me by Aha. They've all become chants.
All right. The Fugees.
Yeah, the Fugees. That's 90s, but yeah, Killing Me Softly.
Brawley wanted to know about the Open Cup versus the league. We've already touched on that a little bit. Andy wants to know, have you noticed a difference in fan interaction since you've been at St. Louis compared to Colorado?
Oh, my. Well, that's I don't think I had to answer that one. Yeah,
We're just pandering now.
It's been great. I mean, it was a strange situation there. It's never taken off, and I don't think it will ever take off. But being back here, I've seen all the positives here.
Spoke to a guy that was one of the Switchbacks fans, and I said, look, your team out here was great. You know, that trip we made 3 years ago, the team out there was great. You played a nice stadium, but you've got 1,500 people here. Why is there the people not coming out to watch this team? And he's like, Colorado's it's a doing state. We're kayaking, we're paddling, we're rock climbing, we're hiking. We're a doing state. We're not a watching state. And if people have got $20 to watch soccer, that you know you've got Dick's up the road. Mm. You know it's only 30, 40 miles.
What are you talking about?
Dick's Sporting Goods.
Oh.
Dick's Sporting Goods Park.
I thought you were talking about some anonymous sex park or something.
Good Lord, man.
You got dicks up the road if you got $20 in your pocket.
Well, sorry. Kroenke does own it, so technically I was right.
Good one.
But, I just don't see it ever changing from being a watching place from the doing state that it is.
Yeah, there is a lot to do there. I mean, it's the same thing with the Rapids. I mean, obviously their stadium's in one of the worst parts of Denver anyway. And if that was downtown, they'd be drawing fans. But that's the way it is there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of, you know, maybe MLS teams playing in your backyard. Okay. Any thoughts about St. Louis with the MLS team coming? Are you just doing your job, ignoring that for now? Or?
Yeah, no, I never even thought about that when I came back here. That's all going to take care of itself, whatever happens.
Yeah.
But I'm focused on doing this job right now, and I want to do it well. I want to have success. We talked earlier. I have a chip on my shoulder, also. So, you know, I'm.
You do have something to prove.
I do. Yeah. I mean, but that's, yeah. So I'm preparing myself and just really concentrating on them. I got a great staff, Max and Brian. I mean, these guys, we just sit and talk soccer all day, and we talk about the team, how we're, what we're doing, and just trying to get all on the same page. So I'm really confident we're going to have success this year. But we still got to go out and do it. I mean, I can sit here and talk all day and, you know, how good we're doing. But until you get to that season, and this is a hard season, it's a hard league. And until you see really face up what's happening, then it's going to be a telltale. You know,
so. Well, one of my questions to you tonight, and you've touched on it a lot here, but this is a tough league. It's a hard league. Mm. I think MLS is, and I mentioned this on Twitter this week, that MLS, one of its biggest successes is that it's cultivated a myth that they're the only soccer worth watching in the country. What would you say to someone who looks down on this league because it's not MLS?
How do we
get them out to the stadium?
Well, it's got to be, hopefully they're real soccer people, because if a real soccer person would watch these games and see the quality. I mean, even if you watch the MLS, I mean, sometimes you're like, this is really the highest league right now.
Yeah.
I mean, and so, but some of the teams and some of the players in this league, I know can play in the MLS. I know they can, because I've seen both sides of it, and I know they can play there. And if people would sit there and watch it, it's a very exciting league. I mean, the bottom team in this league can beat the top team any given week. It just depends on, you know, how the game goes, and I've seen it up close, and so it's exciting. I mean, you got to watch games the whole 90 minutes, because it can change in a flash like that. I mean, teams can be down two and they can win the game, so it's just an exciting league. And if people are wanting to watch excitement, I'd watch this league.
And we have seen a few guys come over that maybe underestimate the talent level at this league.
I've said to myself.
And real quick, they find out.
No.
But I'm talking about players who come in, and it's a slog out there.
It is.
They have to work.
I mean, I've dealt with it on many levels. You know, I thought I did well with bringing international players over. And then last year, you know, when I wasn't in charge of that and they brought them, these guys weren't good enough. They weren't good enough for our league. And so, but they were good enough for the leagues where they came from. So it's a big eye opener, especially the weather, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but all the guys on the roster right now, I got guys that played in Ottawa and from Canada. So this isn't going to affect them at all. So, but
wait for July.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait. Oh my gosh. I can't wait. I'm tired of putting five layers on right now.
That's because you're about half my weight. That's the other part about that.
No, but it's the summertime's a grind, and you got to be ready for it. Cause you're playing in a lot of different types of, humidity, heat, and you know, going down to Florida in July. We played Tampa on July 4th, and then 2 weeks later we play in Miami, and so that's not easy. Believe me, I played there. I know how hot and humid and sticky it is down there. So we got to be ready, and we got to hopefully, like I said, if we can manage guys' legs for that summertime, then I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, and I think that's as good a place as any to end the evening. I mean, we're out of questions, but I do appreciate you coming here, sitting on the couch with us.
It's great. Yeah, this is fantastic. And I mean, I enjoy talking soccer, and so and I enjoy talking about this team, because I know we're going to do well this year.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we've always said that really the show is just people just sitting and shooting the shit about soccer.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
I think we got a lot of new players that come in and sit down, and they don't know how to take us. They don't know what we're going to be about. And then they soon realize we're just three old guys talking football.
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned it before, like how you love to sit around and talk to Max and the other coaches.
Yeah.
And you mentioned before the top to the bottom. I think that's why we get along with Tom and Jim so well.
Mm-hmm.
You get into, you know, sitting down talking about, they're just guys talking about soccer,
for sure.
And
they
love it, and they're committed to it, and they look for people like you that also share those beliefs and passions.
And I'll be honest with, I mean, I'm honest with you guys. I mean, I'll tell it straight how it is. And I mean, my wife's telling me that's how I got in trouble in Colorado. But if it's not good enough, I'll tell you it's not good enough. But for me right now, it's good enough. And so, if we can keep that rolling here, like I said, hopefully this will be a good season.
Well, I want better than good enough, but today we'll
one
take
step,
good
one
enough.
Step at a time.
We'll take one step at a time.
Yeah.
On that note, we will see you guys in the near future.
Since